Today's Bulletin brought to you by Your Sound, Your Community, Alive 90.5.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Brady Evans. Tasmania and Western Australia have halted first dose injections of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine for people aged under 50 years following federal health advice. The decision comes after Prime Minister Scott Morrison received recommendations overnight from the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation. Young people with first dose AstraZeneca appointments are being contacted to reschedule their vaccine. Chief Medical Officer Paul Kelly told the ABC the risk of the virus is greater than that of the vaccine.
We've made this preference for not using AstraZeneca in the under 50s on the basis of that safety concern. But vaccination in general is absolutely important, and I would really urge people to make sure that they are lining up when their turn comes.
More than 1 million Australians have now received a coronavirus vaccine. Tasmania and the Northern Territory are leading the nation on a per capita basis. Health Minister Greg Hunt told Sky News the rollout is still ramping up.
We've had very significant vaccinations going on. We've passed that median. We've quadrupled the number of vaccinations in the last 2.5 weeks as we've moved to the general practice phase of the rollout.
While in the US, 1 in 5 people have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. About 1/3 of the population have received at least one dose since the vaccine drive started in mid-December. In total, almost 175 million jabs have been administered. Farmers and traditional owners in central Queensland are taking their fight against a proposal for a coal mine on the banks of the Dawson River to the United Nations. The Save the Dawson group has lodged a complaint with the UN-supported Principles for Responsible Investment against insurance company Liberty Mutual. It says the proposed open-cut mine southwest of Rockhampton could contaminate drinking supplies as well as creating 400 million tonnes of additional carbon dioxide emissions from the burning of product coal. New Zealand authorities say there are currently no potential exposure sites from a hotel quarantine worker who tested positive for coronavirus yesterday. The country's health ministry believes the wider risk to the public is low at this stage. The Trans-Tasman travel bubble is set to open between Australia and New Zealand in just 10 days. A recent increase in infections arriving from India has led New Zealand to place a temporary ban on Indian arrivals. The country's Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, says she has faith in the hotel quarantine program.
We have a higher number of people coming back to New Zealand than, for instance, per capita, the likes of Australia. But I want people to be safe in their journey. At the moment, I cannot guarantee travellers at the moment coming from India are safe from being infected with COVID, and I want to improve that.
Turning to sport, and two local lads will be going head-to-head in the quarterfinals of the World Surf League Tour event in Newcastle. Tour rookie Morgan Sibilic made short work of fellow Australian Wade Carmichael in the round of 16 clash, while fellow Novocastrian Ryan Callanan got the better of Owen Wright. Callanan told the ABC he's looking forward to the contest.
Crowd's going to be insane on the beach, and I guess just to be a part of it and to know a hometown boy is going to make the semis is pretty special. Hopefully go on, one of us can go on and win the whole comp.
The quarterfinal will likely take place tomorrow.
National Radio News is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5.
It's 5 minutes past 12 here on Alive 90.5. This is Business Insights with Matt and Mario here on this lovely, lovely Friday afternoon now. It's currently 24 degrees and we're looking like we're going to get potentially some rain today, having a late shower today with a maximum of 29. Tomorrow is Saturday with a top of 25, mostly sunny on Sunday as well, top of 21, and Monday is looking like it's going to be a sunny start to the week, although low at 21 degrees. It's going to be a sunny week, guys. So I'm excited for that. And we have the traffic now.
And now, on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
So here on this Friday afternoon, we have some traffic issues going on our computer for some reason.
Maybe it's not working yet. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a live business insight. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt. Just apologizing, I was just pressing some things on a computer and I disturbed Matt in his daily work. I'd like to share with you what Matt mentioned before, and Matt should make this habit to actually start do photoshopping the weather, because we're coming into something very cold for the next few days, and I think the sun is disappearing. But you're listening a lot, 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt, and our guest in studio, truly tremendous entrepreneur, who's gonna share with us all her insights, and truly is gonna empower you. And I believe that's gonna be the best radio talk show today. So ladies and gentlemen, let's go take the short break. Business Insights with Mario and Matt on a line 90.5. Matt, ready to drive on the first song?
Let's do it. Now this song, I got to say, has a bit of an intro, but I got to say, I do love it. It's one of my favorites from this artist, George Michael. This is the song Faith. Now my mum, she was really a big fan of George Michael. So I'm very excited for you guys. Enjoy this song.
Market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit realpropertybuyers.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
SE Timbers Castle Hill are flooring experts. Not just flooring, SE Timbers supply, install and guarantee solid timber, engineered, laminate and vinyl flooring, as well as carpet, blinds and shutters. An authorised dealer of major brands like Boral, Preference and Quickstep. Call 98946660 or visit setimbers.com.au to arrange a free quote today. Station sponsor, SE Timber Floors and Shutters, ingrained quality.
Imagine a whole hour to yourself. You've got your feet up. Maybe you're catching up on that game you missed, checking Facebook, or planning your next holiday. That hour sounds so good, doesn't it? When you give blood, you get a whole hour just to relax. And that's not even the best part, because you also save up to 3 lives. That's why giving blood feels so good. To donate at the Red Cross Blood Service, visit donateblood.com.au or call 13 14 95 today.
Alive 90.5.
It's 12 minutes past 12 here on Alive 90.5. This is Business Insights with Matt and Mario here on this lovely Friday afternoon. Guys,
it's going to be a good one, eh? And as we announced it last week, Matt, as a great public speaker, the reason for that it is, I truly admire him. He speaks openly. For those who don't know Matt, I'm inviting you to come on his Facebook, so flog his Facebook, everybody, 5 million friends. Matt is a survival on a level even I can't comprehend after almost 1900 combat days and being wounded several times. But the thing is, Matt jumped from 35 meters tall building, but this is the least of this history. It's all this planning and survival and everything else. And we make this format that every week before we start the radio show, interviewing our guest, that Matt empowers you. So Matt, Mike, it's yours.
Thank you, Mario.
You're welcome. That was a Matt Carana, and that was a continuous. So.
I'm very grateful for this opportunity, and like that word opportunity, this is what this is, me being on radio, me being on Business Insights, it really is a blessing and opportunity for me. And what allowed this opportunity was one word: yes. Now this one word is so commonly overlooked and brushed upon, and how I say it, I hear more no's in my day-to-day life than I will ever hear yeses. I don't know why that's the case. Now, the reason I want to really hone in on this word yes is because it's the one word that allows opportunity for us. It opens doors. It opens up, I suppose, avenues that might not have been there before. By you saying yes, you're allowing opportunity. But now, it doesn't mean just say yes to everything. Not everything is going to be in alignment with you. Not everything is going to be fulfilling for you. It's not going to follow your heart, your mission, what your values are. No. But by being in alignment with it, you are, well, by saying yes to things that are in alignment, you're allowing the space for opportunity for fulfillment and growth within yourself. So for me, for example, I had my injury. I was 16 years old. A year after my injury, so at the end of 2016, I was asked, Matt, would you be open to sharing your story to about 30 or so students at the hospital? Remember that experience you had while you're in hospital when you actually share for the first time, how that made things a little bit lighter for you? What if you could help others help you? Now, I gotta say, guys, I don't like talking. Well, at least I didn't. I didn't like talking. But in that moment, when she asked me that, I said, look, I don't know, you know. And then I had this feeling, and it came straight from the heart. And this thought that said, Matt, what if you helped someone? If you helped someone, Matt, how would that feel for you? And in that moment, it just intuitively came out. I just said, yes. I didn't even think about it. Didn't know how it was going to look. The first time I started sharing, honest to God, I was, how do I say? I was shaking. I was scared. I didn't know what to think, how to feel. And all I knew, there was 30 faces I'd never seen before. And I felt vulnerable. the manager of the program, she started asking me questions, and I just shared. Just shared my story as she was asking, and it got to a point where afterwards I was shaking even more, constantly thinking, what are they all thinking of me? How could I have gotten to this place? Jesus, I was honest to God, just frustrated within myself and embarrassed. But then these young people, they came up to me afterwards. They shook my hand. They said, thank you. Matt, thank you for sharing. Matt, you've inspired me. Matt, I know some friends that are struggling. Now, after hearing you, I want to go help them even more. By saying yes, it allowed an opportunity of a lifetime. Because what would unfold after that was massive. And this is just one little thing. At the time, it seemed so little, so insignificant, right? It's just an opportunity to share my story. Well, if you guys have been following this show, you would know that the reason I did have my injury was because I attempted suicide when I was 16. I felt worthless, empty, a waste of space. That's how I labeled myself beforehand. But things changed. When I kept at that, I found fulfillment in sharing my story. Just to start off with that. Then I wanted to speak at high schools myself. I was running workshops there. I loved that. Being able to facilitate activities, reflective questions, exercises, and sharing my story as well allowed a space for me to actually start feeling fulfilled. And over time, I slowly no longer became depressed, no longer anxious, no longer suicidal. It's truly changed my life, that one word, yes, and I really place a lot of value on it because it's allowed an opportunity of a lifetime for me just by saying yes to speaking and sharing my story. From that, I now coach people one-on-one. I now am a presenter on Alive 90.5. Guys, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. By me saying yes, it allowed for me to be able to share with each and every one of you. I'm very grateful for that. And honest to God, I look forward to this opportunity every Friday. I really do. It means a lot to me. And Mario, I'm curious.
Yes.
What has the word yes done for you in your life? And how has it impacted you?
I can share many stories, but, you know, I always say, like, you know, my first 45 years of my life was looking like a horror movie. Like, you know, the Alfred Hitchcock and Stephen King had, the intercourse together in Chernobyl, so it's, you know, it's very radioactive and it doesn't look very appealing for nobody. But yes, saying yes, I truly believe that people should say more yes in life. And again, I can share this experience, you know, when I was young and this and that, but I like to ask our guest. Our guest today, she shares something common with my co-host and the partner in crime, Matt. Well, we come to this towards the end. So, Kitty, welcome to studio. Hey, so Kitty, she needs to have
the mic.
maybe you just stop pressing the buttons. So Kitty, welcome to studio.
It's my fault. Well,
and so don't whisper me, okay? So Kitty, welcome to studio. Thank you for finding time to join
Thank
us
you
in
for
studio.
Having me.
And just before we continue digging deep into your life, and you know, you truly had a very unique story, life story. I like to ask you, who is a Kitty Parker?
Who is Kitty Parker?
Yes.
Goodness me. I'm just like everybody else.
Yes?
Yes. I feel like I'm just your typical person, just like everybody else. But I guess that's not what you're asking.
Right? No.
You're like, who is Kitty Parker?
Yeah.
Technically, I'm a property buyer's agent. So technically, I work in the real estate field.
Okay.
I don't think of myself as very real estatey. I'm probably the least real estate like person that you'll ever meet, but technically I'm a property buyer's agent, so I assist people with the purchasing of property. Just like if you were going to sell a property, you'd contact a real estate agent and have them assist you with the sale of a property. I assist people with buying property. But that's, to be honest, I feel like that's the, I don't want to say the superficial side of me, but that's, you know, the label. You know how everyone's got their label, you know, what do you do? So that side of Kitty Parker is, that's what I do for a crust. You know, I'm a business owner. But who is Kitty Parker? Oh, goodness me, Mario. There's so much more to
unpack.
Can I
share something with our listeners?
Of course.
I'm inviting everybody to go on the Dr. Google and search for Kitty Parker. I will try to spell name and surname properly. And I was apologizing that if I miss some letter, you need to fill the gap. Kitty, K-I-T-T-Y, Parker, P-A, M-A-R-K-E-R. And just search for the Kitten Miles. And you're going to see some of her accomplishments in life. But that the beauty of this conversation is that you had unfortunate childhood. Mm-hmm. So we'll leave this for the next segment of the conversation. So Kitty, welcome to our studio. We'll take a short break now.
Thank you.
And I'd like to say thank you again for the funny time. Thank you to all listeners of Live 90.5. If you would like to join us live in the studio, go on the website at live905.com.au, press the stream now, or simply search for the Matt Caruana. Is going to be your co-host next couple minutes with the Kitty. Well, I'll prepare some more questions. Stay tuned.
Alive 90.5.
She keeps a Moët Chandon in a pretty cabinet. Anthony cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. A built-in remedy for Khrushchev and Kennedy. At any time, an invitation you can't take. She's a killer queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam, guaranteed to blow your mind. Recommended at the price, insatiable and appetite. Wanna try? To avoid complications, she never kept the same address. She spoke just like a baroness. Middleman from China went down to Geisha Minor. Then again, incidentally, she was that way. Perfume came naturally from Paris. Naturally. Because she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise. She's a killer queen. Gunpowder, gelatine. Dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind. Momentarily out of action, temporarily out of class, you absolutely try. She's trying to get you. She's a killer queen, gunpowder, gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam, guaranteed to blow your mind. Recommended at the price, insatiable and appetite. Wanna try?
Jump on the internet, stream live at www.alive905.com.au.
Past 12 here on Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Matt and Mario. And we are very, very blessed today, Mario, to have Kitty with us.
Absolutely. And Kitty, as you know, always very grateful to find the time to join us in studio. Kitty, we introduced you briefly, but let's go start with your childhood, which I'm very impressed. You know, it's a contrast between your childhood and what you're doing today. Today, you make everybody happy with a roof above
their head. I try to, Mario.
Well, more or less, you know, like we're trying. But, you know, it says to you in your bio that I was just going to read, having a fortunate childhood and spending her teenage years as a homeless high school dropout, Kitty came to experience firsthand the dignity and security that comes with the home ownership. The high standard of property buyer advocacy, Kitty is so renowned for its consequence of her being disadvantaged past. So, It is. That's very well worded. You know, I mean, even I couldn't do better.
I've never heard anyone describe my bio so well, Mario.
Interesting, you know, that, you know, the person as yourself, you know, with that life experience, being homeless today, you know, you're doing with the homes, you're working with the, you know, I would say like real estate generally. Can you talk us a little bit to your childhood when you say dropouts?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or being homeless?
Yes, of course. First, thank you guys for having me here. You've glossed over that, but I'm like, thank you so much for the opportunity. It's a real pleasure to be here and share.
For those
this
who don't
time
know, please look for the Kitty Park as well on LinkedIn and you're going to see her post. Truly, as you know, I always mention this in the studio, and those who know me, that's very hard to impress me. She has impressive posts about real estate, and you know, she can empower you. So LinkedIn, Kitty Parker. Please continue.
Thank you. My childhood, yes, it was, for want of a better word, you know, definitely not the most favorable childhood. I have very few positive memories of my childhood, and I think it's very tough for many people to actually say that. It took me, you know, a long time to really own that there was not too much that was positive about my childhood. My very first memory as a very, very young child in a high chair, I was probably about 18 months old, was my dad picking up he was carving the Sunday roast, apparently, and then decided, I realized why the neighbor down the street tried to kill his wife, and my dad started stabbing my mother. And I remember that as an 18-month-old, and screaming out, "Don't kill my mommy, don't kill my mommy." So I came from a very dysfunctional family, a lot of domestic violence.
Yes.
That at the time, you know, I'm nearly 50 years old now, and at that time in the early 70s, it was even more swept under the carpet than it is today. Like, I could definitely say in the last 5 years that domestic violence or family violence or whatever they like to term it now is spoken about a little bit more. Yeah. Definitely it could be spoken about more, but back when I was younger, it was really taboo and wasn't spoken about. So I grew up with a father that had mental health problems and was violent. Also an alcoholic. And my father's parents snuck my mom and I out of the house when I was about 4 years old. And all I remember is being on a train or being transported elsewhere. And now I come to know that they snuck us out of the house while my dad was, I think, at work or something.
Yeah.
And next minute I was living with my grandparents. So there's a lot of, like, memory problems there. There's a lot of, my mom and I lived with my grandparents. Then my mom disappeared. I was raised by my grandmother. There's so much by way of memory blanks in my younger years. My mother came back into my life when I think I was around 10, and she'd remarried to another violent alcoholic that was in and out of prison. My mother remarried a third time, and let's just say ditto. I lived with my grandmother. I remained with my grandmother till I was about 12, where she ended up in hospital. But before she ended up in hospital, I actually nursed her through her palliative years. So I was, you know, an 11-year-old child, fending for myself, cooking for myself, cleaning for myself, taking myself to and from school, while also caring for my 72-year-old grandmother, who was passing away and in a lot of pain, and I did that by myself. Looking back, I go, these days, I'm sure family services would not allow that to occur, and there'd be some kind of social services person coming in and taking me out of the home. But at the time, that's just how life was.
Personal question now.
Sure.
Before I give the mic to Matt, because I know he's keen as well with many questions. First of all, I think we have the same parents, you and I.
Mine stopped. Were they mixed up at birth, were they, Mark?
Well, I think it was a generation, Kitty. And I mean, I think it is, because, you know, I can relate to this, but, you know, I never saw my father stabbing my mother, but, you know, I mean, I know the similar circumstances around this rising. But the question to have for you, when you talk about your childhood right now, almost 50 years old woman, you know what I mean? How do you feel this very moment when you talk about this?
How do I feel?
Apart from punching Matt in the face, you know what I mean? So,
how do I feel? Look, there's a part of me that realizes, you know, I speak about it on a very intellectual level. Like I go this, then this, then this. But if you want me to be really honest, like, you know, when you cut in deep, deep,
yeah.
I still feel like a little child. I feel like that trauma of my childhood has just never left. And it doesn't matter how I grow and how much older I get, and you know, I'm a big strong woman with a company and a family and all this, you know, that people may see on the outside. The inside is, you know, I've gone through a lot of therapy, I still see a psychologist, and it's really hard to get past trauma, especially when it's such part of your day-to-day life. And so I
you
feel
know what?
I'm a little girl. I'm still that little girl who, you know, I guess yearns for a mum or dad that actually loved her or cared or wanted her.
Absolutely. When we're that young, I mean, it can we carry with that with the rest of our lives. I'm curious though, and because so, I recently met someone who shared with me a perspective that I was like, oh, I would never have thought that. She's someone who, as early as two, had been, she had experienced a lot of trauma, severe trauma, but to her, it was normal. It just became normal. Was that the same for you? So to the point where sharing about it wasn't important because it was normal to her. And so she felt she shouldn't open up about it because, you know, everyone has this, right? And in her eyes, it's just what happens. Was that your perspective as a child as well?
Yeah, absolutely. As a child and even as a teenager and in my 20s, probably even into my 30s, I really didn't understand how different my childhood was from other people's. You know, I think as a child, you cotton on a little bit. You kind of, you know, I used to try and spend a lot of time at friends' houses, and I realize now their parents were really nice and really caring. But I don't think as a child you put two and two together what you're doing. But I think I was actively seeking out some nurturing without realizing it at the time. So I think I went through my childhood and my teens and my 20s and that quite oblivious to really how dysfunctional my life had been. And if I'm really honest, I think it was me, some of the relationships I had in my 20s and early 30s, they were never violent. So there was never any of that. Luckily, I didn't repeat that. But I really struggled in relationships and to connect with people and that. And
yeah, but to open up after all that, that's a big thing, right?
And I think that's when it started to hit home. Why can't I do these things that other people can do so normally? Why do I feel so comfortable on my own? Why are relationships threatening? Why do I not operate like other people? And I think that started to kind of open up the questioning. And really, it's through therapy that the penny has dropped just how dysfunctional my childhood has been.
Yeah, just to share before we take the break, I like to say, personally, you know, I admire you. You know, I mean, this is the first time we ever met. I don't know your story. We can all write the beautiful resumes. We can all write the things about ourselves and make ourselves look good. You know, pictures, you know, like me. I never take the pictures full front like Matt or you, Rito from above because my belly and all these things. But the thing it is, what I'm always impressed with the people who doesn't complain about life, you know. And, you know, as I told you in the beginning of our interview, I'm barbarian. I'm not Australian. You know, I mean, I come from a different environment. And environment is very rough. We respect the women different way. And I say, like, when I say different way, we respect them. The woman is a woman, you know what I mean? And you always need to, you know, to fight for the women. But being the female and go through that story, that ordeal of your life, you know what I mean? And admitting this publicly on the radio with almost 1.2 million people this very moment listening, it's a big thing. Matt, we should take the short break. Ladies and gentlemen, Kitty Parker from the Kitty Miles, and you can enjoy this podcast later on today after 6 p.m. on the website Live 90.5 Business Insights with Matt and Mario. As you can see, the Matt, he's come to his senses and he's start mastering the DJing. Ladies and gentlemen, Kitty Parker, Matt Caruana, Mario Beckes, Alive 90.5 Businesses with Mario and Matt. We take a short break and come back after this with more questions for our guest, Kitty.
Need an honest, reliable service centre for your car? Then contact United Service Centre Toongabby. They perform mechanical repairs on all types of vehicles and are specialists in top quality European cars too. And all work is at very affordable prices. You'll find them at 5 Picasso Crescent, Old Toongabby, next door to United Fuel on Fitzwilliam Road. Book your next vehicle service on 9631 1179. You'll be so impressed, you'll tell all your friends. United Service Centre Toongabby is a proud sponsor of The Morning Magazine with Happy Jack and Alive 90.5.
Hills to Hawkesbury Community News is a fortnightly free local publication packed with stories about local people, news, puzzles and a whole lot more, including history, a guide to community groups, tradesmen and a variety of local advertisers. Supporting the community for 35 years and as a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5, we believe it's important to keep our community connected. Enjoy your coffee with station sponsor Hills to Hawkesbury Community News. Pick up a copy at your local shopping centre, visit hillstohawkesbury.com.au or follow them on Facebook.
You are listening to Alive 90.5.
If you'd like to know more about us, jump onto our website
www.alive905.com.au.
to 1 here on Alive 90.5. This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt. And we've been very blessed with a very very personal and touching story from our very special guest, Kitty. And Kitty, you shared something that I suppose really like struck me. You mentioned that as young as 18 months, you could remember the traumatic experiences you had.
Yeah.
Would you like to go into that a little bit? Blows my mind.
As we mentioned when we were off air, when I started in therapy and I started like unpacking a lot of things to do with my childhood, and I mentioned some of these memories to my therapist, she said to me, you know, it's really rare for children that young to have any memory at all. For most of us as adults, it's really difficult for us to remember anything from our childhood, you know, earlier than 3, 4, 5 years. We just don't have the memory. And she said, however, when things are really traumatic, you know, they have, a different pathway in the brain or something. And I have some very, very vivid memories of being 18 months, 2 years, 3 years old. Not too many. I could probably count them on one hand, but they're very vivid. But they're, very violent, very traumatic. And I guess that was just a way as a child that, you know, it just went in and hit hard and it's never left. And it's never actually, how do I say this? It's never deadened down, like that memory. You know how sometimes as you get older, you kind of forget things or things become blurrier and that. And these memories of my childhood years, the few that I remember succinctly, they're like they happened yesterday. It's this so vivid and so clear. But, you know, I do have PTSD. I've been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. And that's one of the, you know, symptoms of PTSD, that you can have flashbacks and, you know, very vivid memories of traumatic experiences. So
that's, it's a lot. And the fact that you remembered it as like, so young, part of my mind where it goes to is like, would it from an adult perspective, would it actually have been worse than what you would remember?
That's a really good point, Matt. I haven't even thought about that. That do I even remember it in a more, we'll say, G-rated light, so to speak, even though I know it isn't G-rated. Mm. But do I remember these things, you know, in a way where they're less harmful to my mind than they may have actually been in reality? And you know what? I think you've touched on something that's probably spot on, because in my years in therapy, sometimes I'd have these aha moments where I'd sit there, I'd leave the therapist's office and I'd be like, holy crap, that was my childhood. Or there'd be parts that we would have unpacked in therapy and I'd walk out going, wow, I didn't realize it was that bad. So on an intellectual level, I kind of knew it was bad. And, you know, as time went on, I realized I didn't have a normal, quote unquote, childhood. But there were moments in therapy where it really hit hard just how dysfunctional and off my childhood was. So I think maybe we have coping mechanisms, you know, developmentally
to help
us survive. You know, it's like maybe it's like an innate survival instinct kind of thing, where our mind protects us in a way to keep us moving forward.
And just on, like, so you mentioned that like you were wanting a normal childhood as well. I suppose at the time you didn't know anything better. When did you actually realize, though, that you didn't have a normal upbringing?
Okay. I think I was about 16. Ironically, I was like 15, 16 when the penny just started to tweak a little bit that things weren't right in my childhood. But I don't think I was able to name it, if that makes sense. I think it was more a feeling thing. So I think emotionally, okay, I started to react to things. I was probably a bit of a rebellious teen, and I think I'd act out and things like that. And I think it was because I started to realize things that I didn't know how to put into words, or I didn't know how to emotionally deal with. But I think it started cropping up then. And definitely when I had my son, I was in my mid-20s when I had my son, and becoming a mum for the first time, it really opened up a Pandora's box for myself, because I wanted to provide for my son. But I realized I didn't have a lot of maternal tools. Like, there was a lot I didn't have.
And I showed them as a kid.
Yeah, exactly. That's when I realized I could track back and go, oh, I wasn't shown these. Like, and again, it highlighted the dysfunction in my childhood. And I think there have been times over the years, like, I don't want to say milestone moments in my life, but, you know, moments in my life where, even more so than I've had a bit of a learning curve where I've gone, gee, that's actually because I missed this in my childhood, or that's because of such and such in my childhood. You know, even there's things that I've even learned in the last couple of years that, do you have a moment for me to like ramble into something? If you know, you'll allow me to. There's a psychological term called object constancy, where little children, like around the age of one, they recognize that they can move away from their parent and not see them, but kind of know that their parent or their primary caregiver is still there. They still exist. And it's called object constancy. So an object still exists, even if it's not in your sight. And I didn't realize till I was 45, I hadn't developed object constancy. My parents and my primary caregivers were never there, never even met my feeding needs or holding needs or needs to stop me crying as a baby. And that, so as a 45-year-old woman, people could like go away in life, and it's almost like I forgot they existed. So I wasn't able to attach to people properly. And I didn't even realize that until I was 45 and had to work through that in therapy. I'm like, what? And my therapist is like, yeah, you missed out on this as a child. This is a developmental stage that people go through, it and you just completely bypassed it because of your dysfunctional parenting.
Yeah, and just, I suppose, expanding on that, what do you think the turning point was for you? So you did experience all this trauma, that you realize that, you know, that's at 16, that this doesn't feel right. I shouldn't be brought up like this. And then time went on, obviously you had your own children as well. Was there a turning point for you when you decided to take your power back?
I think, good question, Matt, good question. And I think there'll be a lot of listeners that will want to feed off that, going, yeah, you know, how do you know when things need to shift or when you want to take that power back? When I was a homeless teen, I'm going to guess I was about 18, and I met a social worker. It was actually a social worker that I met, and she was the one that said to me one day, you're actually really smart. Have you thought of, you know, finishing your schooling or that? And I think ironically, it was having someone that valued me, as weird as it sounds, just a social worker, but who saw potential in me.
Yeah, wow.
And it sparked off, I think, something in me. You know, it planted a seed, so to speak. I finished my schooling, like my high schooling, when I was in my early 20s, about 20, 21 or so, around that age. And it was the social worker at the time. I don't even think she realizes how significant a role she played in my life. But, you know, she believed in someone that really didn't have a lot of self-belief and didn't have a track history of family believing in her either. So I think it was her that was like a pivotal point.
That's a lot. Mario, this is a short break, I think I need a break too, it's a bit heavy, sorry, this is great stuff and I bet every listener is getting a lot of value out of this. This is a conversation that needs to be had, and the amount of inspiration and impact you are giving these listeners is a blessing.
Thank you,
not only Mario and I but everyone else. Guys, it's 10 minutes to 1 here on Alive 9.5 Business Insights with Matt and Mario. Enjoy the next song coming up. I'm sure you will.
Alive 90.5.
Shaking it from the bottom to top. Freak to what the DJ drop. We be the ones to make it hot.
To make it hot.
Electric shock. Energy like a billion watts. Space be booming, the speakers pop. Galactic, call me Mr. Spot. We bumping in your parking lot.
When you coming up in the spot, don't bring nothing we call pink dot. Cause we burning around the clock. Hit the lights and then turn them off. If you green, that don't make you stop. Like the jungle, we run the block. No one rolling the way we rock. Way we rock.
My super fly ladies, all of my super fly ladies, all of my super fly ladies.
Yeah, you could be big bone, long as you feel like you own. You could be the model type, skinny with no appetite. Short stack, black or white, long as you do what you like. Body out of sight, body out of sight.
She does a two-step and a tongue drop. She does a cabbage patch and the bus stop. She like electro, she love hip-hop. She like the reggae, she feel punk rock. She like samba and the mambo. She like to break dance and calypso.
Get a little crazy, get a little stupid, get a little crazy, crazy, crazy.
I wanna dance, I wanna dance in the lights. I wanna rock, I wanna rock your body. I wanna go for a ride.
Hop in the music and rock your body.
Oh,
Are you an experienced disability care worker? Then why not consider the benefits of working for Global, the leading disability care agency in Sydney? Agency Work offers variety to work where and when you want. If you have previous disability care work experience, a first aid certificate and driver's license, then Global is the agency for you. Global offers great rates of pay and free training courses to its own disability care staff. Check out positions vacant on the website at globalcarestaff.com or call today on 1-800-009-292. That's globalcarestaff.com or call 1-800-009-292.
Station sponsor.
Station sponsor Lynn's Fine Needlework is a one-stop shop for all your patchwork, quilting, needlecraft supplies and tuition. On linsfinenedlework.com.au, you'll see over 3,000 patchwork fabrics, hundreds of pattern kits, threads and lots of interesting projects for your selection. Their classes cater for beginners to advanced students who work at their own pace and receive individual attention. Enrol now by phoning 9686 2325. Lynn's Fine Needlework at Suite 2, 97 Hills Road, Baulkham Hills. Sponsor, Keith Till's I Get Around Show every Thursday at noon.
Alive 90.5.
4 minutes to one here on Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Matt. We're currently sitting at 25 degrees. And
so how many degrees?
25.
It looks like it's like a Armageddon now. It's so dark and pitch black. And anyway, it's going to be a very wet weekend. So what is the weather tomorrow? You can quickly just shout with me, share with me, scream at me. What's it, sunny or what's it tomorrow?
Mostly sunny. Mostly sunny. 25 tops, so hopefully you've got a good day
that's
tomorrow.
That's a yes.
That's a yes.
It's mostly sunny. That's a yes, Matt.
Let's be optimistic here on Business Insights.
Yeah, so I do have the question for our guest, Kitty Parker from Kitty Miles. Kitty, how do you inspire others?
Oh, that's a tough one, Mario.
I'm recording. You should prepare yourself for that one.
That's a tough one. If I'm honest, I never think of myself as inspiring others, and that's being really honest. I don't. I think of myself as trying to be as much of an open book as possible, and that I hope that if there's something that I say, even some little thing that may help another person or give someone hope, or even if I say something and someone has an aha moment, and it may be some random thing that I'm saying, but they may just go, oh, I've been there too, or that makes sense to me, then I think that's what I'm here for. You know, like, I know that's a little bit woo-woo talking about life, but that's how I feel.
I truly believe you're very modest, and I have full right to say this. I do remember the day, I just give you the example, right? I was wounded in the head, and, you know, I do remember it was a very warm, very fuzzy, I was dizzy, and, you know, and I wake up 1 month later in the hospital, you know, I mean, the rhinoplasty, and they saw my head, and my mom was there, and my mom was crying, and doctor said, why are you crying? He's going to survive. And the long story short, she says, so he will not die. Doctor says, no. She says, so I will not get all these benefits of the, you know, the wow. Veteran, you know what I mean? And I'm looking at my mom, I said, like, are you serious? She says to me, can't you even die to make it us happy? So ladies and gentlemen, we take a short break. Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Matt and Mario. We take a short break, smoke and some alcohol. We're going to drink here in the studio. We had a party, and our guest in studio, truly amazing, remarkable person, Kitty Parker from Kitty Miles, and my co-host, co-partner in crime, Matt Caruana. He's going to kick your butt. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's not a cliffhanger. I don't know what it is.
Goodness me. Whew, cliffhanger, all right.
Today's bulletin brought to you by Your Sound, Your Community, Alive 90.5.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Brady Evans. There are calls for the government to embrace all of the recommendations of the landmark Respect at Work report. Critics say the federal government's plan to make Australian workplaces safer does not go far enough to combat sexual harassment. Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins is optimistic that this might be the turning point needed in workplaces. Speaking to Sky News, Independent MP Zali Steggall says it is now time for true action.
What I'm calling for is now for the government to pass the legislation. So I certainly hope the government will put into action its commitment and enact legislation to amend that definition of sexual harassment at the earliest opportunity, which is in May when Parliament resumes.
The government